Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Wow. What we're talking about, I mean, this is where I'm just sort of like looking at you, and then you're looking at me.
And I'm saying, I love you very much, and I know our listeners enjoy our banter back and forth. But in our last episode, I think it was kind of clear that cognitively you were struggling.
What?
Just a little. Is that fair to say, or am I picking on you?
Well, I mean, no and yes and yes and no. How could you be so cruel? No, I think that this is, really like sparked the whole everything of what we're going to talk about today, and just in terms of like cognition and in the MS world, the whole cog fog, if you will. And I think that that's, you know, my quote unquote performance during the last podcast, especially at the end, I don't want to say I was struggling, but you're looking at me like, I think it's just that it's worth the discussion about cognitive issues and multiple sclerosis.
And it always begs the question, were you tired? Were you overwhelmed? Did you have too much on your mind? Or was it truly cognitive problems? And the reality is that cognitive problems are common for people living with multiple sclerosis. And in fact, 40 to 60% of people living with the disease deal with cognitive challenges at some point in time in the course of their disease. And true to form, cognitive problems vary from person to person.
Thereby then, A Couple Takes on MS, and just how you see how the disease can impact two people so differently.
And cognitive changes are caused by lesions in the brain, and they cause brain and brain atrophy. And that's the disease course. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about cognitive changes or cognitive problems, we're just talking, you know, about learning and remembering or dealing with incoming information, processing, or you and I, we talk about just how organizing or constructing your thoughts and not feeling like you're bing, I have to do this, bing, I have to do this. You can't see something like a project all the way through. And so that's what I talk about when I'm thinking about cognitive problems.
And that's where things, you know, that opens the door to so many different conversations and so many perspectives. And that, as I've said ad nauseum, can I say that? Over and over again about saying, I never want to give the disease more credit than it deserves. And so I don't want to call it denial, but I suppose that's what people in the denial say. It's like, I'm not in denial, but it's just like, I don't always want to say I have cog fog or this is MS cognition. You know, I don't want to say confusion, but just what happened in the last episode, it's like, I have a lot on my mind. There's a lot going on in your head. We have a lot going on. It was late in the day. So I was like scattered from that standpoint. But then was that MS related that I wasn't able to, I don't want to say fire on all cylinders, but.
Well, as you said, you don't like to blame everything on multiple sclerosis. But for me, I can blame a lot on MS. Or a tertiary symptom of MS. I don't have the bladder function or control that I once had, and you've mentioned that as well.
I was going to say me neither.
And so we don't drink a lot of water. We don't stay as hydrated as we should. And when I'm not hydrated, I have noticed that I have trouble processing information, that I'm a little laggy, if you'll use a computer word, where I'm just like, there's that information. So if I don't drink enough water, or if I'm tired, or if I'm hot,
right,
those can all make cognitive problems worse. So you can look at the other reasons that you're slowing down with your information, and maybe you can attribute it to that. But I know that cognitive problems, I'm okay, if you can say okay, with the fact that I don't walk. I've accepted that. Again, have I really accepted it? I hate it.
I don't think you ever can.
No, but I realize that's my reality, that I can't walk. And I'm accustomed to it. If I have problems with cognitive challenges, that hits really hard. And I have a dear friend who also is living with multiple sclerosis. And she discussed with me, and I'm not using her name, but just the fact that she went shopping, and she could not remember where her car was. And she was by herself. And this was back in the day of shopping malls. And she was exiting a store, and it was, crap, I don't remember where I parked. And so those cognitive thoughts, or those cognitive moments, those would be frightening and challenging. And that is something where I'm okay with the fact that I'm rolling. But if I start to lose those cognitive moments or those cognitive functions, I think that would be really difficult.
Let me ask this. You said, what was it, 40 to 60% of people living with multiple sclerosis have some levels or occasions, occurrences of cognitive issues? And so then I'll throw that out at or to our listeners. I mean, do you deal with cognitive issues in dealing with your multiple sclerosis out there in listener land? And please let us know. I mean, chime in, be a part of the conversation. We can we'll address this in future episodes, but reach out to us on our email is we have so many. Okay, case in point, let's use this as the discussion board. We have so many addresses and so many locations and stuff where people can get in touch with us. And so if I want to go with our email, it should be acoupletakesonms@gmail.com, correct? Yes.
Correct.
But our website is acoupletakesonms.com. And so it's just like making sure, okay, which one is it again? So yeah, I mean, so I guess that's the question. Is that cognition, or is that just there's too many things that are the same? Think about this. Okay, so let me just stop and say, okay, let me repeat this to our listeners. If you have cognitive issues, cog fog, if you will, what's that been like for you? And so chime in and let us know. We can talk about this in future episodes too, of other people's experiences. And that is on email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. So then going back to that thing, and we're talking cognition, and it's just like, well, we have so many addresses and so many locations where people can contact us. Is this the problem? Think of it. Think of your parents. Think of my parents. I mean, there's me, Danny, because that's what I am back home. But there's my older brother, Mark, Danny, and our younger sister, Dawn. Mark, Danny, and Dawn. And it's just like, and I have my two parents. And growing up, the number of times that they would start, you know, calling for one of us or shouting at one of us or me getting into trouble or something, and I would get called Mark, or Mark would get called Danny. You know, it's just like, that's not, you know, my parents don't have multiple sclerosis and they were under 50 when all this was going on. This kind of stuff happens for people, whether they have MS or not. So it's just like, and I think those are reasons why I'm not so quick to say, oh, cog fog, MS, it's horrible, horrible. But that, you know, but those are just things where it's just like, we're not the only people in the world that forget or get confused.
And I would imagine that the cognitive problems that people with multiple sclerosis are dealing with are a little more than just forgetting your or calling your children by the wrong name.
Right, right. But to my point, though, is just that that I wasn't able to remember, like, specifically what our email address is versus our website versus mm-hmm. our Twitter handle. And so it's just like, it would be so easy to say, oh, MS CogFog. But I'm thinking, is that really? Because I just think that on some levels, if I have tightness in my chest, is that right away MS hug? I don't know. I mean, but then it's almost like, now I'm just getting philosophical, but it's almost like, you know, when you open up your container of milk in the fridge, it's like, gosh, is this bad? Did this milk go bad? This doesn't. It's just like, you know, when the milk goes bad, if you have to sit and question and wonder if it really is, it's probably good enough. You can make soup with it quick. But it's just like, you know, when you know, you know. And it's just like, so to question whether it's CogFog or not, I don't know. But that's why I'm not so quick to just jump and say that's the issue.
Yes, and you are correct. When it happens, when you know, you know. And I'm fumbling for my words a little mm-hmm. bit, and I don't think that's cognition as much as I'm trying to do a lot. You know, right now it's an incredibly busy moment in the life of a couple takes out of us. As we talked about in the last episode, we have friends whose children are graduating from high school. So we have a lot of open houses. We're traveling back to see your family.
Speaking of graduation open houses, our nephew, congratulations, Ryan, again.
Yes, and we're doing this. And I think that Americans are busier. You know, you talk about your parents. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I had one phone. I had a phone.
Yep.
Mom and Dad, they lived in my house. We had a phone when I was growing up. They both had work phone numbers. So that's three phone numbers I had to learn. I had a grandma. But I didn't have a phone. My brother didn't have a phone. My parents didn't each have a phone. But now, 20 years later, all of those phone numbers we have to learn. All of those computer passwords. And if you're listening to this and you have a tip with or a resource, something that you use to help keep all those passwords safe and straight, let us know. I know that that's silly. I could just probably Google it and see if I find something. But if you're a listener and you have something you would recommend, I think a reference would be huge, just because there's a plethora of things and what's one that's really good. But, you know, there's just a lot that we're responsible for.
And so for the listeners who have tips and ideas, how do they get a hold of us? Come at Jennifer.
They can send us an email at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com.
You're welcome for paving
the preference.
Yes.
Or the just putting it in my head. But one thing, and this could be where we're negligent couple, but do you know if there's medication to help with cognition?
I believe there are. I think that's, but again, I say it slips my mind, but there, perfect. I think there are medications.
And you, Dan, as we are aging, I feel like I don't know how many more medicines. Now, I like being very, very small number of symptom management medications I have to take. And so would that be yet another? But if it was my cognition that started to need a little help, I think I gladly would take medication if there is medication available. And so, you know, if I'm in pain, I would take a pill to help me alleviate that. Or because my spasticity is bad, I take drugs. So cognition, and then what would be the side effects from that? And then would you have to take drugs to deal with the side effects? I don't know. It's a slippery slope. And I and cognition right now is on our mind because you were fumbling like mentally in the last episode. So I sprung it on you that we should talk about that today.
Thank you. I'm glad that I inspired us. But this is an important topic, and with our friend Dr. Google, looking it up, saying, and I can't even. Yeah, it's just, how do you pronounce those, Jennifer?
I don't know, Dan. But there are medications.
There are, and that's a whole thing. And this is where we, in conversations about multiple sclerosis, is talk to your neurologist, talk to your medical provider to ask what kind of medicines are there to help with this. Because that is the one thing where you want to be careful to not, you take medicines to fix one problem only to create new problems. And I think that's, you know, when I was having, that just case in point, back when I was having trouble sleeping, and my neurologist back in the day, and I really, really, really liked my neurologist. I mean, I really like my neurologist now. But he, when I was having trouble sleeping, he had prescribed, and I don't recall the medication, but it was an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. Just as something to help with the sleep. But I think I took it 2 days or, you know, 2 nights before I went to bed, and I stopped taking it because I was so groggy and so discombobulated the next day because it did such a number on me. And so then I'm drinking more coffee to wake myself up and do things. And so then I just stopped taking that medicine, and I figured, for the lack of sleep I was getting for being drained because I was tired, that was a lot easier to deal with than the fog, not cog fog, but just the haze that I went through the day with after I took the medicine. So then it is, how do you take one medicine to fix something only to create new problems?
Right. And you keep using cog fog, and that's just simply another way of talking about those cognitive problems. Mm-hmm. With MS, and I think it's a great thing to consider, you know, give yourself a little assessment of your cognitive skills, and, you know, do you feel like your thinking has gotten slower? Do you struggle to find the right word? Do you forget steps in everyday tasks? Do you have trouble making decisions? That's not us, Dan. We always have trouble making decisions because we are...
I have trouble making decisions because I'm afraid to be wrong. And so I have to think everything through, just so that I feel I made the best decision I could. And that's not always the best thing to do. And I think that's maybe when I get impatient while we're driving, because I don't have time to process. And it's just like, because something has to happen now when you're driving 75 miles an hour.
Right.
What happens? Where do we go?
Yes. And that's cognition. Or just thoughts, and you know, there are questions to ask yourself. And if those problems are sneaking up, if you're having trouble, you know, with work or keeping up with conversations, things like that, if you notice you're getting a little slower and you're uncomfortable with it and you can't attribute it to being tired, being dehydrated, being overwhelmed, then, as you said, Dan,
Ralph, Mark, Steve,
Mark, as you said, Dan, talk to you.
We're going to take a break while Jennifer gets away. I think that is okay. So, but anyway, your thought was,
I was just saying, if you are having those cognitive problems, if you do take that self-assessment, talk to your neurologist and don't be afraid. You and I, we've been living with the disease for more than 20 years, each one of us. And maybe that makes us lax in contacting our doctor. But I would think if we started to have cognitive problems, we would reach out to our neurologist and say, this is not normal.
Well, I think that's something too that we as people living with the disease need to be open to people calling us out on it. Because when you were asking me and everything, I did not get mad or judgmental, because it's just like, you know me. And so it's like, if you're asking the questions, then I need to just stop and think, where is it, or is it a way to explain it? And I just think we deal with so much, and there's so many deadlines and schedules and things to keep, and fatigue, that it was.
Yeah.
So it's just like, but it's to be open to have conversations. And, you know, for the caregivers out there, it's like, you know, just find ways to approach these discussions, so as not to put people on the defensive, because I think at the end of the day, we're all trying the best we can.
And I agree. And it's easy, hopefully, to sharpen up those skills if you feel like you are slipping a little. And, you know, we're aging, so of course we're going to, what's the expression, you know, today is the youngest I...
Today, you've never been older than you are today, but this is the youngest you will ever be.
There you go. And so don't lose sight of the fact that you can still sharpen up your cognitive skills. And, you know, when I go to the grocery store, I try and take a list. Mm-hmm. But if I'm only shopping for five things, I will repeat those five things, and I will try, you know, I will write them down, but I will go to the store without my phone looking at the list, and I'll make a, you know, if I need five things, and I can, it spells out, well, that would only be four. But if I need cake, root beer, apples, and bread, I'll say I need crab. So C-R-A-B. I just make little
That's
games
how I got
like,
through college biology. It's just phylum, failing, whatever.
Yeah, just to make those, and just ways to stay sharp, or to play computer games.
Well, that, I mean, because that's what you do. I mean, you know, when you do your word games and stuff, I mean, you do that,
yeah,
correct, to stay sharp.
In hopes to stay sharp. And so there are cognitive things, and we'll have a link. There's a nice article from our friends across the pond, if we can say that, from a UK MS society, about ways to stay sharp mentally and ways to regain that, or to sharpen up those cognitive skills. And then we'll also link to cognitive rehabilitation, because that's an important resource if you do find that your mental quickness is slowing down. Maybe you should think about someone to help you, a cognitive rehabilitation. So maybe not always reach the pharmaceutical route. See what you can do in and of yourself to help with those things.
I think it is just, I think the how with cognition, just, and as we've talked before about sleep studies and the importance of sleep.
Amen.
We're still getting the hang of it, still trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it is the sleeping, you know, being hydrated, reading is, you know, just to, mm-hmm. to stay sharp with that.
And getting outside, you know, just to fresh air, to kind of clean the cobwebs out of your brain. Just, and I know when you are working here at the house, working in your office, and if you're really struggling at 3 o'clock, when typically everyone gets a little sleepy, you'll just go outside and walk around. Or the benefit of just taking a deep breath, just to get a little more oxygen up there, just to make thoughts go more quickly. But it's just, it's nice to know that in our community, it is not, you're not by yourself. That we all, you know, 40 to 60% of us deal with cognitive problems.
And that, I mean, those are just, you know, the realities of what we face. And
here's a reality that we women face. Uh-oh. That men don't deal with
is
women. But I, as I'm getting older, you know, this will be my 50th birthday.
Ouch.
And I hear you say, ouch.
Well, because when you getting older, I would say that, you know, me getting older, I doesn't bother me as much as when people younger than me get older. And so that our nephew's graduating from high school, you're just like, ouch, that you, my wife, are going to turn 50.
You are correct.
But distraction, okay, back to your point.
And women who go through menopause have noticed that there are some cognitive changes that they attribute to that. And there's going to be a nice link in the show notes about that. And as if women don't have enough problems, but just that some of that, like where you feel like you're losing your sharpness, could possibly be because of menopause and the hormonal changes. And just your body is a machine, and there's so much that you can do to help it with hydration, with a good diet, with sleep. And, you know, menopause, that's hormonal, and that's more than I can just say, oh, I don't want to go through menopause, but it's going to happen.
Well, that's like a, just, I don't want to say a perfect storm then, for women. I mean, but it's just like, you know, boom, if you've got multiple sclerosis, I mean, you get smacked with, you know, a cog fog, neurological disease, you're getting older, and then, you know, throw in the hormones with menopause, you're just like, yeah, so I think it is just a matter of staying ahead of the game and doing all that we can to reiterate or to stay strong cognitively.
And that, it's a good conversation. It's an important conversation. And let's move forward.
Yeah, I think that's where, we all deal with that. I mean, well, everybody deals with that. I think it's just elevated when you're living with multiple sclerosis. And I think that's where, you know, this conversation doesn't end when we stop recording this and put this out there for the world to listen to. I mean, really make this part of a conversation to continue to help, and, you know, to help us all stay sharp and to realize and know that we're not alone in dealing with the things when we're dealing with things like cog fog and forgetting things, or recording a podcast and forgetting our website and stuff, because there's so much that's going on. And so, for real, everybody out there in listener land, what's been your experience with cog fog and remembering things and dealing with that when living with multiple sclerosis? You look like you're going to say something. I thought you were going to save me because you have our email address. But no,
every once in a while I can save you.
Save me. I'm turning it over to you.
I would just say that MS and cognition is a serious conversation, and you and I, we did some talking about our experience, and it's important, and we're moving forward and just trying to do what we can to stay as sharp as possible. And I appreciate that you had this conversation with me, Dan, and you let me be, you were the spark.
Well, my negligence or my forgivableness, but I guess that's the question. You know, we can gloss over it, but you know, when we, for example, so often, like, people who are diagnosed with MS and say, oh, I was diagnosed on this day, but I know I had stuff before then because 3 years before I was diagnosed, I did this, this, and this. So I guess the question that, you know, I had my confusion or delay in the last podcast, but I mean, really, when we're talking cog fog and forgetfulness and things that could be attributed to multiple sclerosis, have you ever had an incident where you know it wasn't just age and forgetfulness or, can you know, just overwhelmingness? Or do you think that could have been attributed to MS, cognition issues, or is it all just like little things here and there?
I would say little things here and there. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's denial, like you said, but I feel lucky that I have not had those issues. Again, that's just the random insanity of this disease. And I don't want to say insanity because that's not nice, but that's just the random effect of this disease that I have not had cognitive issues, that my issues have been more mobility related.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself? How do you feel?
I don't think there's ever been any like one major thing that, mm-hmm. that could be traced and attributed to multiple sclerosis that I know of, you know, saying, well, if you didn't know, but I think a lot of it is just more that, just subtle things, but it's kind of like, I've never had a, knock wood, a formal huge exacerbation, flare up. I think it's just things just kind of ease their way into my issues. And then you're just like, oh, well, this is odd. This didn't get any better. I guess I'll just live with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think I have, but I mean, it is a real thing because I think just with everything that can cause the cognition and cognitive issues with multiple sclerosis.
And with cognition, there is still a little stigma around it. I mean, certainly you don't want to talk about how sharp you're not anymore. And I imagine that there would be some insecurity and there would be some hesitancy about going places if you don't feel you're as sharp as you used to be. You could be a little self-conscious about it. And that's not fair. You are not the disease. You know, if the disease is causing the cognitive problems, that is because of the disease. It's not because of you. And that's why you and I are talking about this today, Dan, because we want people in our community to know that those cognitive problems, we hope that they can be helped. And that's why we're hoping today, why we're talking about this, so that we can put some resources into place, some cognitive therapy, some tricks, some tips to strengthen the cognitive skills and to become more aware of them in this disease progression.
I think that's the big thing, is just being cognizant and aware and, you know, paying attention to yourself and your body and your mind. So thank you all for taking the time to check in with us. And seriously, if you have experiences and things or tips, things that you use to keep your mind sharp, please reach out to us on our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or on Twitter is @coupletakesonms.
Yes.
@coupletakeson with no A at the beginning.
It's just couple, but, and it's not Twitter.
Oh, X.
That is forever Twitter our mind.
And you know, the artist, he's always been Prince. So Prince.
Yeah.
But reach out to us. But thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman and I'm rolling.
And we are a couple takes on MS, and together we are moving forward. Take care.